Reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, starting in the 7th verse through verse 14. Hebrews 5, 7 through 14. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You may be seated.
Good morning. Just a couple of things I want to note before I start is a reading. I'll introduce some of those thoughts and concepts in the invitation. The other thing on my outline that I have, I want you to know that I have before just about every paragraph, I have just kind of an introductory statement or word, and so I'll be forthcoming and giving you those before we get into the paragraph. So this one is entitled, Meet My Savior Jesus, Growing and Maturing. Since the Magi disregarded the wishes of King Herod, as we learned that last week, and listened to the divine instruction of God, in a dream, the child was spared death. And because he was spared death, he was given the opportunity to grow both physically and intellectually. So we know little or nothing about his Jesus's years as a toddler, but only a small portion, and we know just a little bit about his preteen years. And so we have to surmise that some of the things that we've witnessed from our own children that perhaps Jesus went through. It's interesting, yesterday, we don't often get to babysit these two, but I had my youngest granddaughter and one of my grandsons, and it's interesting to watch my youngest granddaughter. She's now, how old is she? 18 months? 19? 19 months? It's interesting to watch her grow, how much different it is, because I haven't seen her for a while, how much different she is. But man, is she on the go. She just ran like crazy yesterday, and it was so much fun, although I'm wore out today, but it was so much fun to watch her. But to hear her speak, I was just really amazed. So I tried to teach her some things that probably shouldn't be teaching her, but I did anyway. I was trying to teach her to say, Go Cowboys. Because her mom is a big Chiefs fan. I thought that she would get a kick out of that when she got home. But her dad, when picked her up, kind of discouraged her from doing that. But anyway, it's interesting. And so, you know, Jesus went through those times where he learned to walk. And he learned to run and learned to speak. And we kind of don't think about that a lot, do we? But he learned all those things. And as a person, as a human being. It's kind of hard to think about that as him being a person and a human being, since he was the Son of God, but he is also God the Son. And so it's really hard to kind of grasp that, isn't it? But it is the reality of it. So we don't know a lot about Jesus growing up, but we do know some things about him in his preteen years, because he was 12 years old, this next section that we're going to talk about. Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 39, it says, When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. And that's just kind of the parents, that Jesus had. They obeyed God. They were godly parents. They returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And it's an interesting phrase, the grace of God was upon him. Every facet of Jesus' life, whether it be physically, physical growth or intellectual growth, was influenced by the grace of God. As we'll learn, he had wisdom beyond his years. I don't know too many 12-year-olds, and I have a few of those. Well, some are past that now, I guess, but I have a few of those. I don't have that many recollections of my kids being 12 years old and having this kind of wisdom. So his wisdom came a lot from the grace of God. Now, make sure I'm on the right. Yes, okay. Now his parents went, verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. So all this time they thought he was probably with other people in the caravan or other relatives even, walking along with them. And so they just continued on their way a whole day traveling back home. Well, they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He's 12 years old. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And I think if we were there listening to that conversation, we would definitely hear the distress in Mary's voice. Because can you imagine? 12 years old and you cannot find your son. And it's 3 days later before you realize where he's at. And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. There's a development of a deep bond of love. I suspect Mary treasured all these things in her heart quite often. She knew her son was really special just from the fact of how he was conceived in her womb. She knew he was special because of his growth and his development. She could see it. And she was amazed at these things. Didn't understand all of it, but she was amazed as she watched her son grow and develop. And there's also another thing that we may not think about because we don't know, but she probably treasured a lot of things in her heart that we don't have recorded that Jesus said as she watched him grow. I would like to know what some of those things are, wouldn't you? Jesus is special to Mary. And you can tell. You can tell. And without a doubt, Mary is special to Jesus. During his time of physical and intellectual growth, I think it's easy for us to surmise that Jesus and Mary and Joseph developed a very deep bond of love. If we know Jesus as we know him, you know that he loved his parents. And they loved him. As he suffered on the cross, we can see his undying love for his mother on display. And we see that from his concern about her, what was going to happen to her after he was gone. Who's going to take care of her? That was the obligation, as we learn from Paul, that was the obligation of the who's left behind the family to take care of widows. And if there was no one, then the church has to pick up that obligation to take care of those widows that are left behind. And so he was concerned about who's going to take care of her, because he loved her so much, he wanted to make sure she was taken care of. So his instruction was out of love and concern. John chapter 19, verse 25, second part of that verse. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. And you hear that mentioned and said a lot of times in the Gospel of John, the disciple whom he loved. And we know who that refers to. That refers to John. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And I don't know, we don't have a lot of information about this, and there are some scholars and biblical commentaries, but it's interesting who is present when Jesus is being crucified. We know he had brothers, but at this time, his brothers were not, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him to be Jesus, the Messiah. So they weren't there. His father's not there. And most believe that he's passed away, he's died. In fact, Brother Zur, and I don't have this in my notes, but Brother Zur says that he believes that it was 7 years after that Joseph and Mary were married. And I don't know how he knows this or where he comes up with this, but this is just his commentary, that Joseph died. A lot of scholars believe that Joseph died just shortly after Jesus turned 12. But I really don't know. But I do think he's gone. Otherwise, he would have been there. Woman, behold your son. Jesus is saying, this is the one you will depend on to take care of you. What was being said about him? Mary also knew that Jesus was special just because of the things that was being said about him that she'd heard people saying, and people that were trustworthy. And so she knew he was a special individual. Because of that, we heard last week, and we read this about this devout, a spiritual man, Simeon, and what he had said about the child Jesus, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Now I can die because I've seen the Messiah come. But he also said some other things about the child Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 33 through 35. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." That's an amazing statement, isn't it, to hear? Because the child is still a baby, really. Jesus is still a baby when this is said about him. You ever tried to predict what your children will be when they're babies? Well, I've batting a zero right now, predicting what my children would be like or grandchildren would be like as far as that goes. That's an amazing statement. The contextual meaning for the word appointed is to set in place for a purpose. To set in place for a purpose. By the age of 12, from listening to what Jesus said, he knew, at least he knew he had a purpose, but I think he knew his purpose. Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? And if you read that from the New King James or the King James Version, and you're probably more familiar with this, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus, at the age of 12, knew he had a purpose, and knew he had a purpose, and probably knew what that purpose was. And I know so many people, and one of my best friends just passed away, that I was really good friends with in high school, and hadn't been around for a long time, but we were still good friends, I would say. But he fits into this category. I know a lot of people that are wanderers, both intellectually and really physically, at the age of 40. And they don't know their purpose. And some people never know their purpose. They never know what their purpose was to be. Sometimes people have so little self-control, both physically and intellectually, because when you say intellectually, it means that they're not using their mind whatsoever. That the things that they choose to do wreaks havoc on their abilities physically and intellectually. And so they never discover what their purpose is. Their mind is too damaged, and then they just give up the search. The Christian has a purpose, to be like Christ. To be like Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The sorrow of a mother. Another statement that Simeon made when the child was still very young is this: a sword will pierce even your own soul. And he was speaking directly to Mary. And I'm sure that's a difficult statement to understand, and she did not understand what that meant. And perhaps it's just as well that she didn't understand, as the child was that young. If she did understand it, oh, how miserable her life might have been, even worse than it was when it actually happened. Mary would experience what that meant in real time as she watched her beloved son die on the cross. Division. One of the inevitable events that would come because of Jesus' teaching, because of who he was division. People would have to choose whether to believe him or not. And that's the way it is today. And that's what Simeon means when he says, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, the result of his ministry. And you go back and recollect the things that he did and said when he was older in his ministry, how divided people became. Those great religious sects, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were divided in their beliefs. And became even more divided when Jesus came. There would be division between non-believers and believers, as is the case today. One principal statement that Jesus made during his time on the earth and during his ministry that really validates what is said here by Simeon is the fact that he was going to divide at the end the sheep and the goats. But also another statement Jesus made that also indicates a validation to this statement that Simeon made is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. The standard of which one will be judged is if our lives reflect the humility of Christ. Will we reflect the life of Christ? A principle that we all come to learn. Interpersonal relationships or interpersonal skills. Jesus developed, as he was growing, interpersonal skills that are extremely desirable to even yet today. In fact, in certain circumstances, if people would develop more or greater interpersonal skills, life would be much easier and would be much more transparent and easier to understand. In Luke's gospel record, he records this about Jesus at 12 years of age in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone listened before they responded? Wouldn't that be great? Not only did he listen, but he asked questions. And when he responded very thoughtfully and analytically. You know, you can tell from his response that he heard the question. Now, he may have responded in a way that people didn't want to hear at times. But wouldn't it be so much better if people really did it that way? And that was evident from what Matthew states, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone formulated their responses based upon what they heard rather than what they perceived they hear or what they already have made up in their mind? Jesus listened and he asked questions. You know, that was not only, and it is today, still a true statement today, that this is this listening skills and the ability to analyze what somebody is asking before you respond is a great way for developing compassion and understanding. It's just a great way. And I believe, as I study this and think about it even more, when Jesus began his ministry, these fundamental person-to-person skills he utilized. Jesus understands the human condition. We know from the Hebrew letter, and that's Hebrews chapter 4, that our high priest, that is Jesus, understands our temptations, and he can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was in the flesh. He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, so he understands. And I think that's why Peter makes this statement in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. You just think about that just a minute. As we pray to God, here is Jesus, who has been on earth, who was a man, who understands the things that we go through, and he's there advocating for us. How great is that? Discipline. Without a doubt, Jesus learned discipline. Discipline from his parents so that he would know right from wrong. Do you think he was taught right from wrong? All children need to learn what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes today, though, we have deflated what is really right, and it's become a gray area. But he learned self-control, and he learned resistance, and he learned those things because those things would have been harmful to the man, Jesus. And they'd have been harmful for us if he not had learned those things when he was young. Apostle Paul says that we are to discipline our body, and if we have to, we have to do it forcefully. so that we can keep it in subjection or submission. Discipline should be handed down from parents to their children so that they know how to act civilly in society. If nothing else, parents need to discipline their children so they know how to behave in society. I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. One of my favorite statements that I've seen in many classrooms in my, and not only in our own school, but in other schools that I've visited, is this very statement, and it's just a little poster and a little short statement: discipline yourself so no one has to. I don't know how many students actually read that. Because I know there was sometimes we had to do a lot of disciplining. Respect and obedience. And Jesus' statement to his parents, and you think about how he would have said that, how he responded. You know, why have you done this to us? Don't you know how distressed we were looking for you? How would a man, Jesus, with compassion, understanding, wisdom beyond his years, how would he respond to that statement or that what was said there? Well, in his statement to his parents after they found him in the temple, we can see his self-discipline, but we can also see his great respect for his parents. From his response, he didn't speak to them by talking back. He didn't have a tone of voice like, "What are you, nuts? You know, I'm of age. I can take care of myself." Silas tells us that he's a man. He's 12. "I'm a man. I can do these things now." I guess he found out this week you can't do those things at school, didn't he? You get in trouble when you do some of those things. You have to spend some extra time on Thursday after school. I don't think that does a whole lot, but, you know, "I'm a man." He didn't talk back to his parents. He didn't scold his parents, which a lot of times response from young people is a scolding towards their parents or the grandparents. Rather, he spoke with clarity, but he spoke with passion. He spoke with passion about what he must do. And notice when they returned home, Jesus demonstrated how all children should act toward their parents, but they'll only do this if the parents have trained them to do this. They'll only do it then. Now, that's not always the case, but a lot of times it is. It says that he continued in subjection to them. And why did he do that? Because this is the right thing to do. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." He learned to read. And this is the end of this. But he learned to read. It's really exciting and wonderful to witness your children and your grandchildren first learning to read. You know, you're witnessing something that's not just growth, but it's the development of their independence. I was going to put this on the screen, but I could not get it to work. Silas and Kyrie have really developed a fondness for reading now. And they went to Walmart, I guess, and their mom took a picture of them, and they were sitting on the floor reading books, not too far from each other. And I thought that was so cute. But then I thought at the same time, I hope they purchase those books so they're reading. Can't just read a book and then put it back. You gotta buy it. That's my opinion. But it's exciting because they're developing this independence. They're discovering a lot of things about themselves and about the world when people learn to read. And they'll read everything. They'll read the menu. They'll read road signs. They'll read billboards. They'll read everything. Some things you don't want them to read. As parents and grandparents, it's imperative that we encourage them to read the Holy Bible. Read the Holy Bible. Learn to read that way. A lot of places and around the world, the way people teach, Christian people teach others to read, is they use the Holy Bible. So that they learn to read that wonderful book. And it fills your heart. If you do hear your children or grandchildren reading from its holy pages, it fills your heart to hear them read those stories. Jesus learned to read. He likely learned to read, maybe, I don't know, it doesn't tell us, but he could have learned to read from reading like whatever measuring devices they had or plans that they had when his dad was a carpenter. Maybe he learned to read that way. I don't know. But I think he probably learned to read the Old Testament scripture. I think that's likely how he learned to read. His public reading, Luke chapter 4, and I'll finish with this. And I love this passage of scripture. And I love the reaction of the people. You can only imagine this. So listen to that, because you, in your mind, imagine their reaction from listening to Jesus the man read. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. You think that was just by chance? The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So far, what have we learned? Have we grown as we learn more about Jesus? Have we drawn closer to him? I think one of the things that's interesting to think of him as a man is to draw closer to him, to realize that, you know, he went through a lot for me. Are we ready for solid food? Do we understand that to put on Christ, we may suffer with him? Do we understand that God's grace can help us endure until the end of our time here on the earth? Are we willing to grow in faith? Jesus, as the Bible tells us, learned obedience through suffering on the cross and became our high priest forever, of which through him salvation is offered. Do not let it escape you. Put on Christ through baptism. It is our only hope of eternal salvation. Our only source of salvation is Jesus the Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. But if we are in Christ and we need prayers of our brethren, we need prayers to grow, we need prayers to become more ready to accept solid food, or whatever it is that we may need prayers for, if you have a need, please let us know. So as we stand and offer our invitation, if you have a wish that we can help you with, please let us know.